Go to Romans chapter 8. I just wanted to get to a verse that I think is appropriate for tonight about what our Lord has done, and especially in light of just helping Allie. And we want to give him the glory and praise for that tonight. But in Romans chapter 8, you know, we great book in the book of Romans. And chapter 8 gets into now that there's no condemnation, and where we have a standing in the Lord. We're free from the curse of sin, the penalty of sin. The Lord has made it just as if we've never sinned. And we have a standing in him. And he goes on into those things. Then he begins to kind of transition into, what does that mean for us as believers? What does it mean for us to have this freedom from condemnation and to be living in the Spirit of God? Beginning in verse number 14, we'll pick a few verses, but I want to get to a verse at the end here in a few minutes. And I'm not going to go long because we have cake, right? So I know everybody wants me to hurry up and get done so we can have some cake together. But let's go to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So one of the things that Paul begins to transition into is, since we have no condemnation, he begins to talk about some of the wonderful blessings that we have in the Lord. That we are adopted into the family of God, that we are now a son of God. I love verse 15 because, you know, religion and Satan and sin want us to continue to live in a spirit of bondage, of fear. And so we've talked about this before. How many times religion, you think about the Pharisees in the Old and the New Testament in the days of Christ, they wanted people to live under this mindset of fear about, how do I get God to be happy with me? Or how do I get, I got to just work so hard to please God. And it's not a spirit of fear. This kind of shows us who God is and what he thinks about us. He has delivered us, he's saved us, he's redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's no longer this attitude of fear of God, scared of, oh, I'm going to disappoint God, even though we know in our sinful hearts that's what we are. But he looks at us as his very own son, the spirit of adoption, and we can cry to him, Abba, Father. And as Romans chapter 8 unfolds, we're going to begin to read about some difficult things that we face even as believers. But there's one thing that we can continue to remember and rely on is that it's Abba, Father. An endearing mindset and a look at God of, yes, I'm going through something that might be hard, something I don't understand, something that might be wonderful, and God gives a variety of things in our lives. But overall, we say, I've been accepted and adopted into a family of a Father that cares for me. A Father that every step of the way of the good times and the bad times, the things I don't understand and the things I might understand, that this Father cares about my well-being. He goes on into this in verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with us. In verse 17, we're actually heirs together with Christ. I love studying that truth this year. We don't have time to go into that. I shared it with chapel on the last day of chapel with the students that one of my favorite verses in the book of Hebrews talks about that the Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. Now you think about, maybe I know some of you may have pursued or been involved in adoptions and things like that. I never have. We have several kids in school that have been adopted. And it's always seems to me it's hard. It would be naturally hard. I've never experienced, I'm just guessing, that if a family has kids and then they adopt a kid into that family, that's probably really hard, isn't it, for the other kids? Maybe it's like, well, who's this new guy coming in, or who's this new girl that we have, or whatever, and to try to be able to assimilate into the family and to accept that person, it might be a little hard at first. But I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got his Father, the Holy Creator God, and then he goes out and pays the price for these rotten, pitiful, pathetic, fallen, rebellious sinners to be redeemed and to actually come into that family with them. And most of us would be like, get them away from me. I don't want anything to do with these. But Jesus says, I want them to be my brethren. And I want my Father to love them with the same level of love that he loves me. That's what Jesus' prayer was in John 17. And he takes us into that family and he's not ashamed to call us brethren. If I was him, I wouldn't be ashamed. Like, ooh, look at that guy right there. It's pretty shameful. But that is the heart and mind of our Savior and our Father in this new family that we're in. But then he goes into just a few other things here, because we have to be reminded of something, that even though we're in this family and we have a God that cares about us, we have a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, that cares for us, but yet we still live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Sometimes it's I know I've had to learn of, like, sometimes you question, why are people like this? Or, and it frustrates you. You know, why is this happening? Why does that happen? And why do these people do this? And it's so frustrating. And we're like, wait a minute. We live in a fallen world. And apart from Christ, I would be doing the same thing. My heart is just as evil and just as wicked. And so the writer here, Paul, begins to go into some of the problems and the groaning of creation. These are familiar verses. Under the curse of sin. And he says in verse 22 that all of creation is groaning and travailing in pain. And then verse 23, ourselves also that have the Spirit, we groan, right? We have to kind of go through some stuff, don't we? And we're waiting for that redemption of the body. We're waiting to be redeemed, for our adoption to be complete in the family of God in heaven one day with Christ. And we're groaning under the curse of sin. We live in a fallen world. And then in verse 24, he continues and says, we're saved by hope. And hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why did he yet hope for it? But we got to have patience, verse 25. And then verse 26, we read this verse quite frequently. The Spirit also... So we've got creation is groaning under the fall of man, under the curse. We're groaning in this fallen world. That's interesting. In verse 26, there's one other one that's groaning, and that is the very Spirit of God. As He's praying for us as we live in this fallen world, He's groaning, verse number 26, making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so, yes, a fallen world that we live in, and it's hard, and there's difficulties that come up, but yet the assurance that I'm in a family, the family of God, I have a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've got the Holy Spirit that is invested, is groaning, is empathetic, is understanding what we're going through, and is interceding for us. And I know verse 28, we all know that verse. Things are working together for good. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to say, Lord, I don't see the good. I don't see it yet. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you're doing these things. But to have that patience and that hope. But I wanted to go on down to kind of the end of the chapter as we continue to talk about, well, we're in this fallen world, and yes, we're a believer, but that does not exempt me from the struggles that sometimes we face. Look at toward the end of the chapter, and I want to bring out just a couple brief things tonight that I hope is an encouragement to you. Look at down in verse number 35. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? The rest of this chapter is going to focus on the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for, the pronoun there is us. It's His people. It's His brothers. It's those sheep that He has redeemed. It's us, believers. The heart that Christ has for us is a heart of love. That no matter, yes, we're in this fallen world and these things are going to happen, but yet look at the love that Christ has for us will never be separated from. Verse 35. Will it be tribulation or distresses or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, sore? Now, I know a lot of times in our day today, we don't face a lot of these things. We face some of these situations, but I mean, in my lifetime, I haven't experienced a famine. I don't know, maybe some of you were in, does anybody here old enough to be in the Depression? Is that a bad question to ask? I don't know. Don't throw something at me. But those were days of hardship, right? I mean, it was trying to find things, or even in the days of the war when there was rationing and helping with the war causes. I don't know. I've just read it in history books. Pop, is it all true? Mr. Opeger, is it true? Yes, okay. So, why did I go to them? I don't know. Don't throw a hymn book at me. I don't personally in my life, I was born in 1980, and some of you guys had already lived a lifetime by then. I don't know what famine is. You know, we'd go down to Winn-Dixie and buy some food. Or we'd drive through Burger King. My dad's favorite things to do after Sunday night after church was to drive through Burger King. And some days he would do it and some days he wouldn't. And we'd always be in the van, because there was a bunch of us. We were real quiet. We were like, is Dad going to go right off the interstate or is he going to go left? We were just like... And when he turned to right, we were like, ah, Burger King, we're getting Whoppers tonight, you know. I mean, the small things, I guess, that made it happy for us. But, you know, I don't know what famine is like. And, you know, nakedness, we have clothes everywhere in this country. We have so much that we end up having to throw things away and get rid of. I mean, maybe, I don't know, Pop, you probably have a tie collection from the 30s or 40s. The man that, you know, I have to admit, I still have a couple shirts from high school. My wife is like, would you please get rid of those things? I can't bring myself to do it. So, I mean, we have all of these things in full. And sometimes we get complacent with that because we don't have all the experiences that Paul is talking about here. These are things that Paul himself went through. He faced the sword and peril and famine and distress. He writes about it in other books as well. But look at verse number 36. For the Lord's sake, we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're in a fallen world that is against the Lord, and we are to expect these type of things. But I really wanted to come to verse number 37 because, again, Allie doesn't like the spotlight, but I just, when I thought of Allie, this word and this verse just came to my mind. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. But look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, all the hardships, all the things you don't expect, all the terrible things, being counted as a sheep for the slaughter, we are more than what? Conquerors. We're more than conquerors through, and why, and how? Through Him, Jesus Christ, that loved us. In a fallen world that we live in, and the hardships that we see, we actually can be not just a conqueror, not just a victor, but more than a conqueror because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk briefly just about this word. It's a unique word in the Greek. It's not used very frequently. It's the word hupernikeo. And nikeo means to be a victor, to win, to be a conqueror. But the word huper means it's overwhelmingly victorious. To prevail mightily, not just to win, but to win big time. You know, it'd be like if someone had a landslide victory in an election or something. Or, I mean, I don't know that the Eagles, Jake, have ever experienced this. Did we ever have any landslide victories? I don't know. We are not more than conquerors when it comes to athletics at Santa Rosa Christian. Except a few times on the soccer field. I remember just, this is always one of my, I just look back. It's one of those, you're not supposed to be proud, right? We're not supposed to be proud. But, boy, he sure does make you want to be. We had another rival school in soccer that was always like wanting to take us down, and they would come to our games before we played them, and the whole team would sit there and watch us and scout us as we played another team, and then they would do all the talk, and we're going to kill Santa Rosa, we're going to eat Santa Rosa up, da 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 da. Game one, 9-0. It was 7-0 by halftime. They were very, very quiet. I was like, man, the Eagles, we did something. One time, we did it one time. That's not just conquering. That's more than conquering. You know, maybe you've seen sports and maybe you follow sports and, you know, you see a team that wins by, like, you know, 50 points in basketball, or they sweep the conference finals or something, 4-0. It's just complete and utter domination. That's the idea of this word. And beyond that, in all the challenges, in all the things that we read about in Romans chapter 8, we don't just survive them. We're not like, Lord, I'm just trying to endure through this. Yes, and I get that. We do survive and we do endure. But the idea is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's beyond enduring. It's beyond just making it through. It's to have an overwhelming victory. It's kind of unique. The word, when it was used in the Greek culture, actually had the idea of not just defeating the foe, but actually being able to defeat them to an extent that they then, you use them to become your helper and ally. I mean, that's like, you all not only defeated them, but you totally dominated them, and then you use them to build your empire. That's kind of the idea. And Paul is saying here, in our Christian lives, these difficulties that come up, these things that we might face, we conquer them, but then through Christ, we're able to use them to learn something deeper about Jesus Christ. And hardships and trouble and difficulties are to be more than conquering, more than victory, because they're supposed to bring us through something to not just be, oh, I'm a superior Christian now. No, not that. It's to say, Lord, I learned something about You that I would have never known otherwise. And the Lord brings us through these to be more than conquerors because of His love for His own. I'm just going to read a couple of quick verses for sake of time about the love of our Lord. We know these verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's His love for us. Here's these rotten sinners. They did their own thing. They have a heart of pride against the Lord. They fell in sin. But yet, the Lord loves them. He loves us. And He died for us while we were yet in our sin. 1 John mentions that as well. We won't go there for sake of time. But we can conquer these things for one major reason. It's the love that Christ has for us. And let's put another spin on it as well. Christ not only loves us deeply, He also went through and faced everything that we can face. Let's go quickly over to the book of Hebrews. You know these verses very, very well. Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4. Mention a few things that I'd like to just remind you of these verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to help them that are tempted. The Lord loves us, and yet he put himself where we deserve to be. He put himself through those difficulties. He put himself through the trials. He put himself through temptations. And yet he also put himself through the shame of the cross that we deserve, through the suffering of the cross that we deserve, through the separation from his very Father that we deserve. And he did those things so we would not have to be separated from our Heavenly Father. Just a page over in Hebrews chapter 4, we know this very, very well. Verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why? Because he loves us. And he wanted to know exactly what it is like for us. And he went through all of these things. He was in all points, verse 15, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, right here. That's what Ann told me she wants everybody to remember and think of when you think of Allie. It's the power of prayer. It's the power of praying and God actually knowing. God knows. He loves His own so very, very much. And He's going to make us more than conquerors in all these things. We can conquer because Christ has been where we are. He's been where we are, and nothing separates us from that love. And the Lord, He took on all those things, all the things that we deserve. Hebrews chapter 12 says He actually did it with joy. He saw through the bitter cup. He saw through the pain, the things that were happening, and He did it with joy to know that He was doing it for His own people. Hard for us to understand that thought. We would think, well, who in the world would go through that for these people that are just rotten? But that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our brother in heaven. That is His care and concern for us. I went back and tried to look at some dates. So if I'm wrong, Ann, just correct me. But I was scrolling through Facebook, sorry. And you know what overwhelmed me when I was scrolling through Ann's Facebook? To see the things that had happened and be reminded, because it's been 5-6 years, was the amount of pray, and people reposting, pray. Allie's, this is happening today. This is happening today. This is happening. Pray, over and over again. And I believe God answered that prayer. We don't know what could have happened. But in 2019 in September, the seizures just happened. And if I get it right, I think there was a surgery in 2021 in March, another one in 2022 in March. I think I saw another one as well. Anything could have happened. I mean, this is not some, just pray for Allie. This is big stuff. And I tell you, I look back at that and I see where Allie is today. Allie doesn't like the spotlight. Sorry, Allie. But to see her, I was blessed watching her take those tests. We were a little mad sometimes, weren't we? And you're like, why is he asking this question? He's trying to trick you. But I was blessed to see Allie's I'm going to get this done. I can do this. I've studied. I know this. And to see how God brought her to that, that's more than conquering. That's more than what we would expect. And that is what our God does. He does above and beyond. So from 2019 when it all started to now, May of 2025, her being able to finish this degree, that is a big deal. She worked so hard for it. She was kind of like, I didn't like that grade I got. I was like, Allie, this is awesome. But you know, she's like, well, in high school I was way better. I was like, yes. It's okay. She did so well and studied so hard and learned pages and pages and pages of things that then he wouldn't ask or ask in a weird way. But I was so blessed to be a part of that. And the Lord just blessed me through that. And our God cares so much. Yes, hardship just came right on in. But now more than conquerors. I want to close with one passage. I want you to go there because I can't say anything except just here's what the Bible says. And this is what can bless us. Ephesians chapter 3. I'd like you to all turn there and read this. Follow along as I read this. These verses, this is what God wants for us, His people. And again, I can't understand why He would. Chapter 3, verse 16. After He says, I bow the knees unto the Father, verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, we talked about that love of Christ, may be able to comprehend with all the saints together what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Real quick, why does God bring some things? And I'm again, not trying to make Allie stand out, but there's things that Allie's been through that God says, I'm trying to be able to want you to comprehend with everybody. All of us have been blessed. I'm sure nurses, doctors, many people Allie's been around. What was it? Is God just, well, let me give a little more breadth right here. Let's let Adam learn a little more length about who I am just by being around Allie. That's what God does with all the saints. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. We cannot understand it, His love for us. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, more than conquerors, above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, I just thank You tonight for our Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank You, as we've seen on the screen, for the power of prayer. Lord, it's been exemplified over and over in the life of Allie that we're considering tonight, and we're so thankful and happy, Lord, for how You work. I'm thankful for the lessons I've learned by watching Allie and the family. And Lord, I just thank You for the growth that You've allowed all of us, as Your word we just read, all of us would extend into the length and the breadth and the height and to know more about the love of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just ask that You continue to bless in a mighty way, that we can look back at Your goodness and we can see that we are more than conquerors through the love and the goodness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your heart for us, a fallen yet redeemed people. And we praise Your name tonight. Thank You again for this time. In Christ's name, amen.
And all of God's people say, amen.